This week we were working on a melody that my wife composed to one of the sayings of the Baal Shem Tov, a beautiful saying that people like to use it for weddings, to write it on wedding invitations. But basically it's about every connection. Baal Shem Tov said that each one has a beam of light that is coming out of him and it's going up to the sky. But there is no clearer and pure light than the light that comes out of two that are really connected and combined. So I don't have an instrument, but we can just try to sing it. You feel free to join me, it's not complicated. This is why I was singing.
Oh, that was nice too.
I'm trying to do my best according to the conditions. It felt easier to come here without an instrument, but I didn't understand it. It's because I forgot. Okay, so we're going to talk about two parashot. In most of the years, they come together, Parashat Behar and Parashat Bechukotai. They come together in the same Shabbat. This year, they didn't. So it's the parasha of last week and parasha of this coming Shabbat. In Parashat Behar, it's written something that is a bit strange in terms of faith, of emunah. It's written that the land gives the fruits. It makes sense. But if you're a believer, the Torah is supposed to say that isn't the Hashem Yitbarach is giving the fruits. Why is it written that the land is giving the fruits? It's a beautiful question that your friend Naama sent me. And I invite you again, all of you, to send me your questions every week before the parasha. It's the best for you. And we're going to talk about it today. Asking the questions itself is what's going to bring you to learning, to true learning and to true understandings of your own. I'm going to try to answer or to just take it in my mind when I think about that class, but when you're going to learn in order to question, you're going to get to new places. So do it for your own good sake. So, of course, the answer is that Hashem Yitbarach is the one that is giving the fruits and is the one that is giving all of the bounty. But the truth of the Torah is always to talk to us in our own terms as humans. Not to be too imaginary, spiritual. Stop the imaginations. Have both feet on the ground. Work the land. The land will give you the fruits. This is the first way to answer it. And again, our body is made out of that land itself. And we feel the taste of the fruit only when we know that we get it out of our... So, like people say it in English, Mother Earth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So... we're like a nursing baby. We need to get our bounty from our mother to know that it's related to us in a way, that we did something for it. Not like a nursing baby, actually. But to feel that it's coming out of a place that we can reach. In the meaning that all of the philosophies and all of the religions and all of the spiritual ways and all of the Hebrew learnings and everything about the Creator, the God, the this and the that, it's all, when you go to the bottom line, it's all philosophies. It's all concepts. Although it's the truth, but we can't grab it. We don't have any reach to the true being of the Creator himself. We can just learn and understand about, we can get the teachings of holy sages that also grabbed something maybe deeper, maybe higher, maybe, but no one is able to reach the actual being of the Creator himself. So why do we learn Torah at all? What do we learn Torah for? First of all, to get deeper and to reach something. But we all must understand that all of the learnings and all of the teachings is for us to find the good ways, the true ways to fix ourselves. And not to stay in that level or that position that is learning in order to get to somewhere philosophically, ideologies, whatever. This is the reason why it's so stupid to fight over spirituality issues. Because anyway, everyone reaches his own way and level and is not able to understand you at all if you fight. Only when you try to connect. And then a new beam of light is shining. That is clearer, that is purer, that is so amazing. And just to be exact, about that point, you don't need to try to connect to everyone. Only the people that you have the vessels to connect with. Because some people can maybe are too high for you and they're not able to give you their bounty. Maybe some people are too low and they're going to take you down. You need to be very, very connected to your own heart in your journey, in your spiritual journey. So the fruits are given, of course, by the Creator, by Hashem Yitbarach, but don't be imagining. It's coming out of the land. You need to work the land. You need to do your own job. And this is how we get the fruits. In Parashat Behar, Hashem Yitbarach also says that I own the land. And the parasha is speaking about all of the concepts of Shemitah, the seventh year that you need to just let the earth rest. And also about the Yovel, the 50th year. After seven Shemitot, the 50th year, again, it's a very, very big test in Emunah, because it comes out as 2 years in a row. All the 49th is like the seventh year in the circle of sevens, and also the 50th. It's 2 years. Yes, not working the land, not nothing. The 50th year is a very, very strong year because it's also the year when all of the slaves are liberated. The Hebrew slaves are liberated. And all of the lands that people trying to play monopoly, buying this land, buying that land, going to live here, going to live there, everyone needs to go back to his land, which is amazing that you have a land at all, right?
How does that work today?
It's not working today because we don't have the calculations of the when is the 50th year. We only have the sevens, the Shemitot, but we don't know when is the.
But the farmers are keeping the Shemitah year now?
Shemitah, yes, yeah. I'm saying, but not the Yovel, not the 50th.
Okay.
And also, we're too capitalist to let go of lands, to give back, okay, this is not mine anymore. Now, Hashem says, the land is mine, okay? People need to understand that, again, first of all, it answers the first question we talked about. When Hashem says, the land is mine, it means I'm the one that is giving you your bounty through it. But in that aspect, Hashem is saying, you are my people, but you're only citizens in my land. The land is mine. Lebriyut. Bless you. You're only citizens in my land, but the land is mine. And you need to once in a while to step back, not to be so strongly connected to the free choice that I gave you, to own the land, to sell it, to rent it, to play your game. The verse is saying, "Ha'aretz lo timacher litzmitut." The land will never be sold eternally. Never. It's not your ability. It's not yours enough. And a beautiful thing that is written is that at that 50th year, when everyone comes to their own lands and everyone remembers that the land belongs to Hashem Yitbarach, the verse is saying that it's Geula La'aretz, it's a Geula, redemption for the land. What the land is not alive to be redeemed. What is it all about? Okay, it's alive in the meaning that the force of life. It's not alive to be redeemed. It's not what's going on about it. And this is a very, very important teaching that we need to hold, that redemption is not just being free and liberated. Redemption is that everyone is standing in the right position for him, that he knows who is behind, who's in front of him, he knows who is above him, who is under him, who is... Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. What's your name, please?
Blanca.
Blanca. Where are you coming from?
From Mexico.
Mexico. Wow, amazing. Telly sent you?
Huh?
Telly sent you? No.
Mm,
no.
It's someone.
It's okay. A student that came from Mexico that learned here.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you.
The redemption is not just being free and liberated. It's to know who's the boss. It's to know that everyone that is under the one that is really supposed to lead and to guide them, and that everyone is really following what they need to follow, not just to be free and live and that's it. Freedom is also an imagination. Being free under spiritual ideas and philosophies, like we said in the beginning. No, you need to have 2 feet on the ground, you need to work the land, you need to know what's going on. This is real freedom. Now, at the beginning of Parashat Behar, the first verse in the parasha is saying that Hashem was talking to Moshe in Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai, and he gave him all of those rules. Now I ask you, we're right after the Mishkan, all the issue with Aaron's sons, we're after so many parashot, a whole book since we stood on Mount Sinai, and now the Torah is going back. No, this is a conversation that Hashem told Moshe this and those rules, and it was on Mount Sinai. What do I care about it, first of all? And second of all, if it was there, why isn't it written there? Why are we just jumping in time that way? So a lot of the commentators tell us that there is no early and late in the Torah. No, the Torah is beyond time. Rashi goes deeper into that concept and he says, to teach you that you won't think that what happened on Mount Sinai was the most important, and there are mitzvot that were given in the desert, mitzvot that were given in this way, in that occasion, in that situation. So some of them are more important than the others. No, all of the mitzvot are important. Everything is important like it was given in that main event on Mount Sinai, in front of the eyes of all of the nation. But you know me, I have my own direction of thinking. And and this year I was, it's a very famous question, it's written in the books that way, it's written, Ma'inyan Shmita Le'Har Sinai. What's the issue, what's the connection between Shmita to Mount Sinai? What's the connection at all? Now, Shmita, the word Shmita is coming out of Lishmot, to drop something. Drop the land. Let it be itself. Don't work it. Don't seed. Don't water. Don't own it. It's not yours. That year, it's not yours. Let her be herself. Which is a very important teaching to all of us. Okay, you're in that relationship and you're influencing and you're being influenced from time to time, drop it. Let her be herself, let yourself be yourself, let him be his whatever, yes? So, again, the question is, what is the connection between that Shemitah to drop to Mount Sinai? And we're so close to Chag Shavuot, the receiving of the Torah. And I thought that that question is coming to teach us a very deep and important teaching. We need to drop our own story. Only by that the Torah can be accepted in its purity, can be received to us in its purity. Because the Torah is given. It's just given. But who is receiving it? How do you receive it? Everyone is receiving it only according to his own vessels. And if you're holding and sticking to your own ideas and ideologies and stories and memories and traumas and whatever issues that you have, you're squeezing it and you're taking it to a certain place. But if you really want to receive the light of the Torah, you need to drop your story. And this is the issue of Shemitah, of dropping to Mount Sinai. To teach you that this is the only way to really receive the Torah in a pure way, in its own purity.
If you just like let it be, won't it all die?
What?
Like won't all the crops die?
All the what?
The plants.
Plants?
Yeah.
Some of them, the trees survive mostly. And if it's about like tomatoes or cucumbers, you'll be very surprised that most of them also survive in a way. Maybe they give. In long term, also agronomes, you say? The agronomes also evident.
What's that?
The people that search agronomy, the land,
yeah,
the...
Yeah. Agriculture?
Whatever. They also testify that it's the best thing for the land. That in each, after a few years, to just give it a break.
It's like a Shabbat.
Yes, it's Shabbat. It's the Shabbat of the land. Right, exactly.
They also do it like secular farming. In Denmark, they also have parts of the field that they keep like Shabbat, and then they move it like over the years.
What? Sorry?
Like they also do it in farming that is not Jewish at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the best.
Yes.
Like it's been proven that it's
been proven. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So... Like we said, what is the creator? Who is the creator? We don't have and we're not going to have any reach about his own being, its own being, her own being. It's all, it's male, female, all of it together. It's spiritual, it's physical, it's... The creator is everything. We don't have any sense and or a logic sense also to grab it at all. All of the learnings is to ourselves. And this is where we're going starting to go into the parasha of this week, Parashat Bechukotai. This parasha is the one of the hardest parashot in the Torah, in the meaning of the feeling of all of the blessings and rewards, and from the other side, horrible punishments. If you're going to follow my commandments, you're going to have good life. If not, you're going to suffer. Oh, big time. Now, again, for me it's very hard to deal with those issues because the way I find myself strengthening is only by dealing with the merciness of the Creator. And you know, you heard me speaking in the past, it's not that I'm avoiding the hard situations, the painful situations, the bad feelings. But to be strengthened, I'm looking for the merciness in every situation and in all of the punishments as well, to prove that it's not punishments at all. The verse is saying, I'm going to walk among you. I'm going to be between you. If you're going to follow, if you're going to behave like good sons, I'm going to reward you for that. And in the opposite way, the Torah is using horrible descriptions. I'm going to leave alone the punishments and the horrible thing that can happen. And we saw that it happened during the history. We saw. It was almost as horrible as it sounds, but from the other way, it was more horrible than it sounds, in because it's only words, and to know that it really happened. But where is it coming from? Hashem is going, is saying in the Torah is saying in the verse, I'm going to be disgust from you. And if we're really going to try to learn the Torah in that way, that we have an assumption, clear axioma, can you say? You know that word? Okay, let's say a strong assumption that we don't have any potential to even reach the Creator Himself, His Self, so to speak. And we're going only to learn according to our vessels to fix ourselves. We need to search for the real concept of reaching those ideas of what I walk among you, and it's opposite, I'm going to be disgust from you, meaning I'm not going to be around at all. And I believe everyone is knowing very well those two feelings of how much we can feel connected, loving, and really believing in our own good, own private good. And out of that place, suddenly all of the reality looks so clear, so complete. We're able to love people around us. We're able to connect, to create such pure light together, new beams of light. And from the other side, we all know the feelings of being disgust from ourselves, hating what we do, hating the way we think, hating ourselves for acting this or that way. We all know those feelings. The self is the revealing of the Creator in your life. If you're disgust from yourself, it means that you're walking in a wrong way. And that revealing of the Creator in your life, that is called your own self, is disgust from yourself. The self is the revealing of the Creator. This is the meaning of saying that the Neshama is a part of godliness itself. This is the Hebrew faith. That a Jewish Hebrew Neshama is a part of the godliness itself. And in the Tanya, the Admor of Chabad is saying that it's not only a part of the godliness itself, he's trying, again, we're just trying to describe the undescribable. The undescribable. But he's saying that it's a part of the inner being of godliness, not only godliness. The inner, most inner place of godliness is where your soul was carried from. Now, in Beit HaMikdash, there were two altars. One is considered to be the higher one, is the head, the mind. That tool that is able to get into teachings and learnings and to investigate and to get to conclusions, to teachings, and there is the heart. Actually, it's two ways of thinking. A lot of times in the Torah, it's written machshevet lev, that there is the thought of the heart and the thought of the brain. There are two, it's two way of thoughts. Now, the thoughts of the heart, of course, it's combined with our feelings, it's combined with our desires, it's combined, and it's, we can't control it in a way. It's just thoughts that arrive, and we have a free choice if to identify ourselves with those thoughts, saying, okay, so, I want chocolate so much. Okay, so do I identify myself with that desire and making myself and chocolate addicted? Or that I'm able to watch that desire and to understand that this is also a message that is given to me. Not in order to use it to identify myself. Each and every memory, each and every feeling, each and every desire, each and every thought is a creation. Each and every thought is a creation by itself. It's a free creation that was sent to message you. If you make it a prisoner, if you identify yourself with it, oh, can you close the door, please? If you decide to identify yourself with that thought, you make it a prisoner. And when your jail is full, you're caught in a loop of identity. There is not letting you really learn Torah, like I said before. Because in order to learn and to grab pure wisdom of Torah, you must drop your story. And it's not able. It's not a possibility when you're too loaded. When you're too identified and caught into those beliefs that belong only to the past. They appear in the present. They do appear. And you know what? Even if it's not going to stop appearing in your life at all, the question is, do you make... Bless you. The question is, if you are able not to catalog yourself according to those feelings and thoughts and desires that raise up to your mind and just let them go. They raise up and they go. If you're not holding it, they will go. And they might come from time to time, and it's okay. It's messages. Hashem is showing you something. Be careful. A desire is waking up. Be careful. Something is wrong with your ways. Something is wrong with your path. Maybe you're not devoted to the right... Maybe you're not listening to your heart. Maybe you're not using your tools. Maybe you're not really, really using your talents. Because all of the desires and all of the suffering in the world is coming out of sadness. And we think that we're sad. But if you truly, truly check, you're never sad before you're frustrated. And we're always frustrated because we don't really follow our talents. We don't really walk in the path that is meant for us. Your talents is your guide. What do I need to do with my life? Do you know to draw? Draw. You know to play music? Play. Pesach is the beginning of a process that we're going, hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, to finish in the Chag Shavuot. All of the Omer, Sfirat HaOmer, counting one day and another. What is that counting? Why is it starting in Pesach? Have you ever thought about it? Why is it beginning in Pesach? We know that the most important thing in Pesach, which is the Chag, the holiday of liberation, of true freedom, of true redemption. What is the main thing in Leil HaSeder, in the first night of Pesach? What is the main symbol of freedom? This is the story.
Yeah.
But the main thing is questioning.
Yeah, the four questions.
The four questions and the drinking of the wine.
Yeah.
Children have their questions. They have no problem to ask questions. The adults need to drink wine to start questioning. Okay, So drink wine. This is the true freedom. Only a questioning mind is free. This is the whole purpose of freedom. This is the whole purpose of Judaism. This is the whole purpose of the Torah. Don't think that there are questions that are not allowed to ask. If you really believe in the Torah and its holiness, you know that it will answer all of the questions. If you really believe in your spiritual way, you're supposed to be very, very calm and confident asking all of your questions. Maybe it will take time to answer. Maybe it will take time to get to it. If you're a good student, you're not going to ask your questions and say, if I don't get the answer immediately, I'm not going to follow.
I feel like a questioning mind, though, is like you're always trapped down by it.
What?
You're always like thinking more and more about your questions, and like you never feel like free.
Yeah.
You're like weighed down, like, oh, like I don't have so many answers, I'm so confused. Like,
yes. Yes.
Like, how is it free?
Yes. Okay. So, okay. What are we talking about? Where are the questions come from? What is the motivation to ask the question? What do you search for? You're searching for the end of suffering? We talked about it last week, last class. You want the pain to be over? We talked about
it. Clarity.
You're looking for clarity?
Yeah. Like religious clarity.
Religious clarity?
Yeah.
Forget about it. Who needs it? If you're looking for religious, especially if you're looking for a religious clarity, you're going to lose it one day. Because one day you're going to feel the urge or the will to do something that is not allowed. And you're going to lose all of the clarity. We need to search for the truth. Only the clarity. I really liked it when you start going that way. About the truth itself. And then, when we lose our clarity in religion, and maybe we also fall, and maybe we also sin, chas v'shalom. Because we lost the clarity, we don't know what's the right way for us now. But if we're devoted to the search of truth, we're going to be back on the lane. Somehow. By that search. So many people are so identified with their religion, and religion immediately comes with keeping or not keeping. I'm more religious, I'm less religious because I don't know, I do this and but I don't keep that, so I'm less religious, I'm more religious. We're supposed to keep everything, of course. And it's for our own good sake, of course. And if you don't believe that, you're in the wrong place. Wow, so I only need to do it not to be punished.
Sometimes it feels like that.
Of course, yeah. I know. This is why I'm talking about that feeling. Exactly. If you change your state of mind, you understand it's for my own good, but I have no vessels for it. I can't find that good. I feel that what is good for me is somewhere else. And now what? And now what? Okay, so you're starting, if you're not questioning, you're starting to identify yourself. And this is where the mud, you're stuck in the mud, in that mud of thoughts and of problems. Okay, it's a problem because I'm supposed to be that way, but I'm that way. And so I'll drop it all. So I'll drop it all. This is the conclusion. If you, right? okay. So I'll drop it all. No. If you're devoted to the search of truth, you can find yourself in places that I'm not the center of that situation. The truth is. Okay, so that being, that character that is me, has problem with going in the way of truth because of that I made out of earth. I have my desires, I have my questions, I have my problems. Everything is accepted, except of lying, except of choosing to say, okay, so you will drop everything because I will make my own truth. No, you can let go. Let go. No one is forcing you. Hashem gave a free choice. You're not allowed to sin. And the main understanding about it is that you're not allowed to make the sin a way of life. You're not allowed to say that it's permitted. You're not allowed in your search, not as something that you earn, you'll be punished for it. Forget it. The punishment is that you're going to be disgusted from yourself walking in the wrong way, in the wrong path. Never to identify yourself with any thought that is negative. And on the higher level, never also identify yourself with even positive thoughts.
Not positive ones.
What?
Why not positive ones?
Because again, when you find yourself in a negative place, you start fighting. Ah, but I'm supposed to be positive. I am all day. I am not. It's a lie. It's an illusion. Your true self is not connected to that character. It doesn't belong here. It's a part of pure godliness. A spirit, a mind that is not being questioned like, who said so? Is it the truth? Are you sure it's the truth? What? I'm addicted to chocolate. Is it the truth? No, I just like eating chocolate. But if you believe that thought, you must have that chocolate and eat it all day. Only because you identified yourself with that nonsense. I love chocolate. Okay. It's okay. It's not bad. If you know that chocolate may make you suffer, you need to understand that you don't love it. That you disgust from yourself after you swallow it like animal. Okay. That's a great teaching. That you give yourself. If we don't question our thoughts, there is no other way. We start believing in them. We must question. Because when you start believing in your thoughts, immediately the suffering comes with it. Because you have your own concepts of happiness, your own concepts of pleasure. And what can you do that life and the Creator is not following your recipe? Reality is not going to happen according to your own desires. It's going to happen only according to the will of Hashem, which is the best for you. No question about it. This is why we suffer. Because we believe our own thoughts about pleasure and about suffering. But if you follow the reality itself, without trying to catch no moment to say, okay, this is the right way of life. This is the right way of living. This is the way it should be. This shouldn't happen. That's it. And we see how thoughts that are not questioned Let's give an example. I see someone behaving really, really wrong. Okay? And I say, he's so stupid. How can he be like that? Okay? This is the thought that I have. The one that is in stupidity in that moment is me. I'm thinking about stupidity. How stupid he is. Is me being inside of stupidity in that moment. Okay? In that moment, stupidity is a part of my life, not his. I never have the option to know what's really going on inside of no one's life, only mine.
If someone's really doing something bad, though.
He's doing something wrong. That's okay. We need to deal with that. We need to deal with that. But we need to be aware to ourselves. Always. In the way we're dealing with things. Somehow, we're bringing ourselves. I remember the last class, I told you that unsolved issues are following you in your life. How is it happening? We're bringing ourselves to the same situation again and again, again and again. Somehow. That annoying child is annoying that the how do you say, a bully? Yeah. Again, he annoys him and then runs away. And that bully is being anger again and starting to run after him again. And it happens again and again, again and again. How do we end that circle of suffering? How do we end it? Only by start questioning. Why do I get so angry every time again? Why do I need to annoy him and to run away again? What's the purpose of my actions? Somehow I am caught, probably, in a situation, some situation that I'm bringing myself to the same place each and every time, again and again. What is it? And this is why I said last week that we turn our back to it every time. This is why it's following us. How can I face it? What am I avoiding? I'm avoiding something. This is why I'm repeating, bringing myself to the same emotional places, to the same emotional relationships, to the same situations. What am I avoiding? What do I need to face? Ask those questions. Sometimes you find yourself starting to cry, get so emotional. Why do I need to control my feelings so strongly that I'm not letting myself to just cry? What is so wrong about it? Well, I need to be in control. What control are you talking about? You're not controlling nothing. Get out of your imaginations. You're suffering anyway, so why not letting try to lose that control? Once. Tell your mind, okay, I'm going to try it once. I'm going to try it only once. Anyway, I suffer. It can't get any worse. Maybe something is good is going to come out of it. Maybe there is a memory that is going to jump out only after you let yourself cry and scream your soul out. Why not?
Then, like, I feel like you let yourself deeper into it. You get more sad and more... Like, aren't you supposed to, like, not think about it so much and just, like...
What? Not think about what?
Like, let's say...
You think about it all day, don't you? You're trying to avoid it and you think about it all day. The fixed reality is when you don't think about it all day. You have a free mind to meet new learnings, new teachings, and go on with your life. And instead of that, you're trying not to think about it, and you're stuck thinking about it all day. It's not that you're supposed not to think about it. You're supposed to get to that place that is not thinking about it all day. And you're not allowed to avoid yourself. So again, creating that ideological, philosophical, whatever invention and imaginations that one might have on himself or about his life, is very easy. And then you have two selves. You have the one that is you, and you have the one that you imagine. Who is the one that ever brought you to happiness? Of course not the one that you imagine. Because it's disconnected. It cannot bring happiness. It cannot bring happiness because it's in a lie. It lives in a lie. In that way or in another way, anyway, it's just rejecting reality. How can you be happy when you're rejecting your life, your own life? So you want to say, but. Sorry, it's supposed to be a Torah class, but it belongs to your butt. You ate it, you need to let your digestion system digest it and get out of your butt. Away. Digest it, finish with it, go on. Go live your life. But what do you reject? But I must control. No, you're not have to control. And you know what? Even if you really, really feel that I'm talking nonsense and I'm not connected to nothing in your life, if you're able to listen to me quietly and not to reject what I say, this is the evidence that you're walking in your own right path. But if you must fight over it, like we began in the class, there is no way to fight over spirituality, because no one is able to convince the other during a fight. Spiritually, you can force Iran. The Trump can force Iran to what I don't know. Put sanctions. How do you call it? Spiritually, you're not going to educate no one with force. Spiritually, you're going only to grow when you connect. You're going only to share, not to convince. And everyone takes whatever is able, according to his own vessels and level, to contain. That's it. And I'm happy that you're asking your questions. Again, it's not someone is fighting inside that mind that says, oh, I'm not going to be no one's going to use me anymore. I must survive. That's the state of the mind. The mind lives only in, how do you say? Only in order to survive. But we're looking for something else. We want to live. We want to breathe. We want to have happy, calm, full, complete life. Warm feelings. Feeling complete. But the mind must fight. Must be sad. Must be in a trouble. Because it only functions when it's trying to survive. And when my words are threatening your state of survival, you must ask your questions. And this is the way you find your own way. You're amazing. We're all amazing. All the time. All the time, we're just amazing. And we're able to connect ourselves to all of the blessings in the Torah, all of the blessings and all of the bounty, even when we're not able to keep all of the mitzvot. if we're only devoted to the search of truth and not making no wrong way a way of life, always to admit I'm too weak, I'm too strong, I'm not able, I'm able. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the powers. Thank you, Hashem, for showing me my level, not giving me my powers. Whatever. You have a menu, you have a guideline of the truth. Do everything you can do to stick to it. In that aspect of remembering that this is the truth. And if it's not the truth according to your whatever thoughts, go look for the truth. Go to India, go to, I don't know, to search the Maya temples. Try to be an Aztec. Revive the old, the truth was always here. It's always going to be here. If you see a culture that disappeared, it wasn't the truth. This is the evidence. That's it. It was probably huge and a lot higher than a lot of ways we see today in the present. But the truth never disappears. It disappears from our eyes, but it's always available. And if you're seeking for the truth and you're going through all of the mistakes in the world, you're still going to be rewarded. You're still going to be close to the Creator. You're still going to be blessed in your life. And this is the way of Torah. That's it. What will I say in the class on Shavuot? Now I finished all of my ideas.